Be seated. So I had said that one of the great things about Christmas is the fact that during the Christmas time, we do get to sing Christmas carols, and we get to sing them together as a family like this, coming together. So there's great Christmas songs like Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Joy to the World. I mean, all those great Christmas songs and so many more. I was reading, and I saw that online, there is a place I found that actually ranked what they said were the top 15 religious Christmas carols of all time. Not what they used for criteria, but anybody want to take a guess at what the number one Christmas carol was of all time? Well, it's religious. See, I would have thought Silent Night also. Nope, Silent Night was actually number 6. I know. Anybody else? What was it? Oh, Come All Ye Faithful didn't even make the top 15. Like Silent Night. I thought Silent Night would be there for sure. Not even the top 15. Anybody else? Apparently none of us participated in this apparently ranking. Anybody else? What was it? Yes, that's on here somewhere. It's number 15. So Joy to the World is there. It's number 10. We're not even in the top 10 yet. Yes. First Noel didn't even make it on the list either. I know. So we're going to recognize some of these, yes. Hark the Herald Angels, it's on here, but it is not. That's number 12 also. So it's O Holy Night is what came up as the first. So I'm going to show you, here's the top 15 songs. Now, I have a question if anybody even knows what song number 14 is, because number 15 is O Little Town of Bethlehem. Song number 14 is I Saw Three Ships. Has nothing to do, I don't know. Wait, Luella's going to sing it to us. For those who don't know it, Luella's about to sing it for us. Is it about? Obviously, it must be. You want to sing it, Sarah? What's it about? And that has to do with Jesus? Ah, okay. Well, it must not be a big one, because anybody else not heard of it before? Other than me? Okay, thank you. There's a couple. So anyway, oh, you did get that to work that way, Donna. Oh, that's awesome. So anyway, can we just show them all at once? No? Okay. Well, you can see, she'll just run through all these as you see what the top 15 were. What? First Noel. See, that should be number one to me, but what do I know? I don't understand that one. Good going. I don't know. That makes sense. Silent Night. Notice Away in the Manger's not there. That makes sense. We already sang that one. Yeah, that's... And O Holy Night. I don't even remember. I know... How does O Holy Night go? Oh, man, listen to you guys. Oh, yeah! Yeah! So who knows all four stanzas? That's the real key. Right? What I want to do tonight is I want to just spend some time looking at one of these Christmas carols. In fact, it's the one that was number 4 on the list, O Come Emmanuel, which we sang just before we started this. Because this is one of the oldest Christmas carols that we have. And even though it's one of the oldest Christmas carols, I think most of us don't really know what the background story is of this and why it is still relevant to us even today. It's a powerful, powerful message if you know what's behind it. So that's what I want to share about. Now, its origins goes back literally centuries, and I mean centuries. It's based on some prayer verses that were written all the way back in the 6th century. Now, I love history. If you would identify just a century, I could probably tell you some of the events that took place. Listen, there's nothing happening in the 500s. Nothing of any interest is going on. It is really a dull, boring time, so I can see why they had time to write. But these were prayer verses, and they wrote all these prayer verses with one specific intention. They were all focusing on the titles and the power that is in the titles and in the names of Jesus Christ. So if you go through, if you look online for O Come Emmanuel, as Tony has found out, there is like 1,000 different versions of it. And they have different stanzas. Some have 4 stanzas. Some have like 10 stanzas. They mix them up. They're all different. But they all come originally from these prayer verses written back in the 600s. Now, if you fast forward to the 12th century, still a long time ago, that's when those prayer verses were all put together, and they made a song. They made the first Christmas carol from that, but it was in Latin. That was in the 12th century. It's not until 1851 that we see the modern version that we just sang about, and that was written by John M. Neal. Now, John Neal, he expressed in his, if you'd have read all, we just sung all those verses, John Neal expresses all of those prophetic names and titles of Jesus Christ. Each stanza, he has a different name, a different title for who Jesus is. And at the end of every one of those stanzas, he has that refrain, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. So I'm going to look through the different stanzas, and I want us to see tonight what all of those titles of Jesus is, all those names of Jesus, because there's power in those. And even though they were written in the 500s, the 6th century AD, there is still so much power, and it all ties right back to the Word of God. So let's look at the first stanza. The first stanza, O come, Emmanuel. And of course, the first word that we see, the first title for the name of Jesus is Emmanuel. Donnie, you can bring that up whenever you want. I'll just keep this up here for the whole time. You can see the different stanzas. So the first word is O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, it's very appropriate. Emmanuel is actually one of the oldest titles that has been given to the Lord God, Emmanuel. And it's very appropriate when we talk about Jesus being born or the birth of Jesus Christ, because Emmanuel literally means God with us. So when Matthew, the gospel writer, when he was writing about the birth of Jesus Christ, this is what he said. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he said, all this took place that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, when translated, means God with us. So you can see why he chose that as the very first, the title for the song. It is God with us. When we talk about Jesus and the birth of Jesus, it's very appropriate we use this because he is God with us. But even better than that, he's God within us. Because as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, residing in our spirit. Rejoice. That's why he says, rejoice, rejoice. Okay, let's get the second stanza. That's nice. Well, the second stanza, he actually says, O come, O wisdom from on high. O come, O wisdom from on high. O come, O wisdom. God is the wisdom of the ages. And the wisdom of the ages came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. Now, that title, wisdom from on high, that actually comes. We're going to see that a lot of these come from the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. When we sing those words, when we sing that title for Jesus, when we speak that name of Jesus, we're actually speaking forth what is ours, what belongs to us. We have the wisdom of the ages. It is hidden from the rest of the world, but it's not hidden from us because Emmanuel has come. Christ with us has come. Emmanuel, Christ with us, the wisdom on high. And we see that's even specified for us in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 24 says, but to those who are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We have the wisdom of the ages. We have all the wisdom. So we have the wisdom of the ages so that we can know and understand the Word of God. That's telling me that when we sing that, when we say that, that's the acknowledgement that every single one of us can understand the Word of God. Anyone who says to themselves, well, I struggle to understand. No, you have the wisdom of the ages in you to understand the Word of God. We can understand the Word of God. We can live. We have the wisdom to live the Word of God. We have the wisdom of the ages so that we can also speak and we can teach the Word of God to others. Rejoice, rejoice. We have the wisdom from on high. Third stanza. Third stanza says, O come, O great Lord of might. He is a Lord of might. Jesus has already won every victory for us. Already done. Every one of his promises is already established for us. It is already for us to just receive. He has already won all those victories. It's just up to us to operate in the power of his might. And as we operate in the power of his might, we bring glory to the name of Jesus. We see this spoken of in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When we speak that title for Jesus, when we speak that name for Jesus, we are saying that we know and understand that we operate in the full power and the authority of Jesus Christ. So anything that's in our lives that is contrary to the word of God or contrary to the promises, anything in your life contrary to the word of God must submit to you and I standing and speaking boldly the word of God. Rejoice. Rejoice. Because he is the Lord God. He is the God of might. The third stanza. No, the fourth stanza. Fourth stanza says, O come, O branch of Jesse. Some versions say, O come, O root of Jesse. O come, O branch of Jesse. This also comes from the book of Isaiah. In chapter 11, verse number 10, you can read that for yourself. It's talking about the nation of Israel, which was referred to as a tree. And the nation of Israel was cut down to the very ground because of their idolatry and because they turned away from God. They were cut down to the ground. And there was no man left sitting on the throne of David. But out of that root, from the roots of that stump, grew a branch. That is the branch of Jesse. It is Jesus Christ is that branch that grew out of the ground. Jesus who is from the line of David. He is the line of David, David who is son of Jesse. This is speaking about Jesus Christ and who he is in relation to who we are through him as well. This is talking about us today. Now, this is what Paul says about this verse in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 10. Listen, you're going to hear Paul actually quote the verse. But listen to what he says about this, being the root, the branch of Jesse. This is Romans chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it's written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise up and reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace believing, that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the branch that is on the branch of David. We get the honor of being the branch that is actually on the branch or on the vine, the larger branch, the vine. We are the branch that is on David. And he has filled us with joy and peace believing so that we can abound in the Holy Spirit in our lives and as we go through our lives and touch the lives of others. Rejoice! Rejoice! Because you are the branch that is attached to the branch of David, the branch that is on the vine. Fifth verse, the fifth stanza. And O come, Emmanuel. This is my favorite one. He says, O come, O key of David. O come, O key of David. This again is coming from Isaiah. This is actually from Isaiah chapter 22, verse number 22. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And this is what it says. Isaiah 22:22. The key of the house of David I lay on his shoulder. He's talking about on Jesus. The key of the house of David I lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. The word key there, that word means someone that has authority to open up the doors. Now, that verse in Isaiah chapter 22, verse number 22, That verse is talking about the authority of God that God gave to Jesus Christ as a man in this flesh on this earth. And we know that Jesus took that authority that was his, and he gave that authority to you and I. And so we have that authority. This is all talking about the authority. This is the key of authority that we have. Now, we learn about it. I won't show it to you, but you can read this in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:18. And that's where we see that the key of authority was given to Jesus. And if you read in Matthew chapter 16, you will see that Jesus says, "And I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." So we have the authority of Jesus Christ in all things. When we speak, and we speak the word of God, we are speaking in the authority of Jesus Christ. And again, if there's anything that's contrary or opposed to the word, it must submit because you have the authority. You, as a believer, you have the authority. It's the authority he's given to us. Oh, come, O key of David. Rejoice, rejoice. We have that authority. The sixth stanza. This is one of those stanzas where you can see there's actually a couple of different versions. It says, "O come, bright and morning star." Some versions say, "O come, O day spring." Day spring, if you read in the New King James Version, there's only one time in the entire New King James Version of the Bible, Old Testament and New, only one time you ever see the word day spring. And that word is when Luke is talking about the coming of Jesus Christ and the birth of Jesus Christ. This is the way it reads. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. "Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace." So Luke is talking and telling us about the coming of Jesus Christ. And when he's talking about those verses that he's saying, those words he's speaking, that's an actual response again to Isaiah. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah said that the world was in darkness, spiritual darkness, because of their sin. But Isaiah said that Jesus was coming to bring light, to dispel the darkness, to become the light to the darkened world. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. O come, O day star." When we read that title, when we read that name for Jesus, that's a reminder to us that the light of Jesus is in each one of us. And that light of Jesus shines out of us. And it shines out of us to dispel the darkness in the lives of the people around us. Let's make sure that we have taken that bushel off of our lights so that we are a city on a hill whose light cannot be hid at all times. Rejoice, rejoice. And here's the final stanza. "O come, Emmanuel. O come, O desire, O king." Other versions say, "O desire of nations." I like the term, "O desire of nations." "O come, O desire of nations." This is, again, a title that comes from Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 2, we're told that Jesus is returning, that Jesus was coming. And it says that when Jesus comes again, it says all the world is going to stream up the mountains to learn from him. This is a reminder to us that we have a role to play in that. We've got a part to play. Here's the verse that actually ties to this. When those people back in the 6th century were writing these, they got this desire of nations from this verse in the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Whether they realize it or not, Jesus Christ is the heart's desire of every part of his creation. Whether people that are out there that deny Jesus Christ, they may not understand it, but because of the way they're created, their heart's desire is for Jesus Christ. How will they come to know and understand that? Through you. They come to know and understand that through you. Why? Because as Haggai said, you, they come to know through you because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We know Jesus Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the glory of the Holy Spirit is in us. Let that glory shine through us. This is the impact. This is such marvelous, all seven of those stanzas. It gives us the name of Jesus or the title of Jesus, and it reminds us, each one reminds us of who we are, what our responsibility is, and the power and the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. See, when we spend tomorrow morning opening up gifts and doing all the Christmas things, we need to not forget that throughout the rest of this year and into next year, our job is to be that light. Our job is to present Jesus Christ. And they need to see Jesus Christ through our victories as well. Here's one of the great things. I don't know who those men were that in the 6th century wrote all those prayer verses. I don't know who they were, but because it was so boring, they were having some fun with their composition. Because if you go through all of those stanzas, now if you read Latin, you would know this. I don't read Latin. But if you go through all of those stanzas, if you take the first letter out of each of those titles for the name of Jesus, you take the first letter in the Latin, you go through all 7 of those stanzas in the order that I just gave it to you, and it will spell out this phrase, I am coming tomorrow. I think that is so awesome because here we are tonight. We just sang that song, O come, Emmanuel. And what it's saying is, I am coming tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be celebrating the fact that Jesus did come. He came that first time 2,000 years ago. But now look, we've got the rest of this year. We've got Tuesday through next Sunday. Let's speak and live all of those titles, all those names of Jesus. Let's live and speak them because as we do, we can prepare the world around us. We can prepare our loved ones around us for the coming of Jesus Christ. Prepare them because he is coming. And perhaps, just perhaps, he may come tomorrow. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Let's rejoice. Amen. Lord, we do rejoice in you. We thank you that your name is the name above all names. And all power is in your name. And we thank you that even in the titles for your name, there is power and there is reminders to us of who you are, of what you've done for us, and the power and the authority that we have. So we give you the praise. We thank you. We glorify you. We remember you tonight, tomorrow, and all through the rest of this year and into next year. We remember you. We thank you and praise you. In your name, Jesus, you be glorified. Amen and amen. Let's